Welcome and good morning. I hope everyone is enjoying a good Sunday morning. Today is the Lord's Day, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. So good to see so many familiar faces this morning, and want to welcome our visitors who are here. Know that this is a family church, meaning that we are one family in Christ, and all are welcome in the house of the Lord. We have a number of announcements this morning. I want to first of all, let you know how glad Star Ann and I are to be back here with you this morning. She got a papal dispensation this morning from her choir director to be here. So I know she's going to enjoy her time, as I always do, with you. We have a number of items here in the bulletin to review. You notice here that there's a mission ministry meeting right after worship today. And there are a number of items and activities coming up, as you see in the bulletin, that relate to mission and mission outreach and care of our people. You see here that Saturday, Cook's Marketplace will be ongoing from 8 a.m. to 3. And there are a number of preparatory activities that will be going on in preparation for that on November the 23rd. It's also a congregational meeting next Sunday and a 10-cent a meal offering on November the 24th. And on this congregational meeting, which is coming up on Sunday, November 24th, this will be to elect a new class of elders coming in. Remember that elders are ordained by the hand of God through the Holy Spirit by their election through this congregation. They are to lead you, serve you, and they are to love the people. I believe we have some other announcements this morning.
And thank you for not forgetting me this time.
I would never do that.
Twice would have really hurt my feelings. Twice would have really got me. So our marketplace is next weekend, and we have a lot of busy bees here in this church who've been doing things. I can't even start to name. I can see some of them. I know some of them are still on vacation. We are having a light breakfast. I believe we are having sausage biscuits and maybe scones, Sandy, not to throw you under the bus. Something along those lines. There's a variety of things. We have wood items over there that the gentlemen have made for us. We have things that the ladies have been painting. We have angels. We have ornaments. We have Christmas tree skirts. I carried a Christmas tree skirt because it's light. It's a lot of heavy things up there. We have beautiful wreaths that Paige has made for us. There's a tremendous amount of stuff I don't even know about. James and his wife are going to be bringing for us. And I believe she says it looks like Christmas threw up in her living room at the moment. So we need to help everybody with these things. We have several people that will be purchasing tables for us. I believe Gay and I believe Petey and Ginger. They're going to be having tables of things that they're doing on their own. Please get the word out there. If you're on Facebook and you see where Sandy's posted it, forward it on your friends. We need to remember our sister churches, I believe, are also doing it at the same time. Paul Creek, and I believe somebody said Pleasant Grove Presbyterian has one going on at the same time. Just get it all out. All the churches need it. We all need it. It goes to the building fund. Anything I'm missing, Amy? Exactly. Put them in where you get your hair done, where you like to go eat. They normally let you post something up there. That'll be a great help.
What time are you getting Friday set up?
I think Amy and I are cheating, and we're starting on Thursday. So if you have stuff that you want to get out of your house on Thursday, phone us, one of us, cell phone. Cheryl can find us. Most anybody can find us on cell phone. We'll meet you up here and make sure you're getting it into the fellowship hall. It's just if you need to go ahead and get out of the way. That way we know what we have and we can start pricing and start setting up. But then we'll be here on Friday also finishing up. Thank you much.
Thank you. Are there other announcements this morning?
The Thanksgiving dinner next Sunday evening for everybody in the church.
Thanksgiving dinner next Thursday evening.
No, Sunday.
Next Sunday evening. I would have been very hungry if I came here Thursday night. Next Sunday evening, please.
And then next week is our fourth Sunday, so if you're interested in trying yoga and our meditation prayer class, it'll be next week.
Very good. Other announcements? Thank you. We begin our worship service with our focus on our opening reading, which is Psalm 149, 1 through 3, which I believe Luke is going to read for us. Ready?
It's not Luke?
It's not Luke?
It's Aiden.
Aiden. Okay, I thought it was going to be Luke. Do you need the box to stand on?
No. Probably. I'm tall.
Okay, here we go.
Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints.
Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King.
Let them praise his name with dance and make music to him with tambourine and harp.
We come before the Lord as we begin our worship service, seeking his forgiveness. In the Reformed tradition of over 500 years, we have always had our call to confession to cleanse our hearts and minds so that we may receive the Word of God into our heart and into our mind and into our soul, that we can then hear the Word read and proclaimed and act upon it. So this morning we have this prayer of confession coming to the Lord our God with true contrition and in faith. Mighty God, you are creator of all, yet we confess that we have not served you with the fullness of commitment and devotion you deserve. You call, but we fail to listen. You ask us to follow in the way of Christ, but we often go our own paths. You offer us the gift of new life, but we tread the old familiar roads that are empty and barren. In your great mercy, O God, forgive our sin, renew our spirits, and free our hearts from the grip of sin. Lead us to follow and serve Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let us go now to the Lord with our individual prayer of confession. Lord, hear this, our individual prayers of confession. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Forgive us, O Lord. Amen. Lord, we give thanks that by your grace and love in Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, by his blood shed on the cross, that our sins are forgiven. We are cleansed and made whole. We are renewed to new life. We are forgiven in the name of Christ. Amen. Now we affirm our faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, using the Apostles' Creed, which has stood for 1,800 years as one of the confessions used throughout the church, committing ourselves publicly to what we believe in a triune God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Let us now share the peace of Christ one with another, practicing our Hebrew, friends, that I know that you know. Because when Jesus encountered his disciples on that third evening, he said to them, Shalom Aleichem, to which they replied, Aleichem Shalom, peace be with you. Share the peace of Christ.
I'm going to say that's special. I'm going to say that's special. Good morning. We'll be reading Jeremiah 33, verse 14 through 16. It's on page 787 of your Pew Bible. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, will all the children and all those young at heart, please come up forward.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good.
Great. Are you having a nice morning?
Yes, because I got to sing.
Yeah, you did great. And you did a nice job reading, too. So I wanted to talk to you guys about being prepared for things. So if I were to show you this bag and maybe pull out a towel and maybe a bucket and a little rake and some goggles and sunglasses, what do you think I was preparing for?
The beach.
The beach, yeah, or the pool. And this is actually a cooler, so I could put some drinks in there. And don't forget sunscreen, right?
I only put sunscreen when I'm going to the beach.
Yeah, so these are some of the things, not everything, but these are some of the things that you would want to gather if you were planning to go to the beach. So what about this bag?
Hiking.
You're pretty smart. You got it. I have a water bottle. Maybe a snack.
I've used something like that when I go to Boy Scouts, because we use stuff like that when we go camping.
Yeah, and I was even thinking too, you have a flashlight if you're planning to walk and be out in the woods when it's dark,
I wore a little head thing.
Yeah, and here's a lighter to start a fire if you're planning to camp out overnight. So let me ask. There's a lot of things we prepare for, right? But what do we do to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ to the earth?
Be good and get a bunch of stuff that will resemble him and be good to everybody.
Yeah, all right. And then what did you say?
Be thankful.
Be thankful. That's a great one. Anybody else have an idea about things you would do to prepare? Yeah, well, I can tell you that the main thing is, so think about if you were studying for a test. You would need your notes, you would need to pay attention in class, you would probably maybe even need to look stuff up and do some research, maybe memorize some things. Well, in the Bible, this is the best book and the book. This is the Word of God, and it has everything that we need to know to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. So every time you memorize a Bible verse, then you're preparing. When you're listening and doing the things your parents want you to do, right? You're obeying your parents. When you're being thankful and kind and loving. When you pray. When you talk to God about all the things that are going on and the things that you need. All of these things are things that we do to prepare. So I want you guys to think about something that you can do today to prepare for that time in our lives when Jesus Christ returns. Can we all bow our heads and pray? Dear Lord, thank you so much for these children. Thank you for their loving families. Thank you for this church. Thank you for giving us everything we need to know to prepare, to be ready, to open our hearts, and to welcome you into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can head back to your parents, or is there children's church? No? Okay. Just head back to your parents. Thank you.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Pour out upon us the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, we will be open to know and do the things pertaining to life and holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our gospel reading is in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 to 31. Hear the word of the Lord. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable: look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Great things often have their beginning in very humble situations. Soon we're going to be entering into Advent as a time of preparation to celebrate the birth, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. His Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means one who comes to save. The name we give him, Jesus, is actually the Latinized version that came to us from Roman times. But for the sake of clarity, we'll call him Jesus this morning, but he would have responded to Yeshua. Promised by God through the prophets, the birth of Jesus gives us hope that we are not condemned and abandoned to mortal death. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's word through the prophet Jeremiah 600 years before his birth. In Jeremiah 33, 14 and 16, the prophet announces, "The day is coming when God will fulfill his covenant promise of the Christ, the Anointed One. Jesus will establish his reign in the heart of all believers. He will be the ultimate king of God's kingdom through the line of David as Redeemer and Savior. And his mission from God will be to execute justice and righteousness throughout all lands and among all people." Beginning in our Luke 21 text and continuing on in Luke 22, we find Jesus preparing his disciples for what is to come. Soon he will be betrayed by one who was by his side for 3 years and whom he considers his brother. It's a terrible betrayal. He knows he'll be arrested. He knows he'll die a torturous, very painful death. And he wants to prepare his disciples for the culmination of his ministry and for the cross and what is going to happen beyond. But he talks to them of things they just can't comprehend. They just don't get it. He speaks of signs of the end of times. He prophesies his resurrection, his ascension, and his return in judgment and glory as king of a new kingdom of God, as the Son of Man. Jesus will give new life, he says, to all who hear and know his voice. This message to his disciples literally blows their minds. They cannot understand why. Why must our master, our friend, our teacher, whom we've seen cure incurable diseases, raise the dead to life, why must he now die? They're uneducated. I mean, they don't know the prophecies from the Bible about his life, his death, his return in power and glory and majesty. They don't understand about his sacrifice that he'll make, what it means, how it will change the world for all believers to be born again through him into new life. And maybe the most confusing statement for them and for many of us today, what does he mean? What is he talking about, this Son of Man? Well, Jesus identifies himself with the prophecies of Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Hear again the word of the Lord. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power to all peoples, nations, and men of every language that worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." So Jesus promises he will return in glory and righteousness at the end of times when all humanity will stand before him. On a day of God's choosing and by his sovereign will, the Son of Man will sit in judgment. In Luke 21 and Matthew 24, Jesus tells us to look to the heavens at the conditions we see there and in the conditions we see around us in the world as signs of his imminent arrival. Nation will wage catastrophic wars causing death, destruction, and misery. There will be great natural disasters from earthquakes and hurricanes, floods and famines, plagues and devastating diseases. The church and Christians will be persecuted even unto death. False teachers and messiahs and cults and false religions will deceive many to turn away from the true faith of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know, but do you think the signs that indicate the approach of the end of times may be upon us? There are those who say rightly that these conditions have existed since the beginning. But my sense is that Jesus is talking about an intensity, an ever-growing phenomena of cosmic signs in heaven and signs around us in the world that indicate that he is going to return. Only God knows when the end of times will arrive, but Jesus warns us not to be lulled into complacency. Be spiritually ready, living his gospel by doing the works commended to us by Christ. Jesus says in Luke 21:36, "Be always on watch and pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." We should live without fear, fear of life, fear of death, fear of the end times, fear of the second coming, because for the faithful, there is nothing to fear. And Jesus says, anticipate my return with heartfelt joy. Heartfelt joy. We can confidently approach life and the next life because of our redemption and salvation is in his hands, the hands of our Lord and Savior. And when we see the heavenly and earthly signs he predicted to his disciples, then we can look forward to the Son of Man returning because our redemption, our salvation is near. The promise of Jesus is also revealed in that vision you know to John in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first earth and first heaven had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" I say amen, and Lord, bring it on. Bring it on. So God in his holy word teaches that beyond the grave, beyond the end of time, stands Jesus as the Son of Man. In the midst of all of these natural and man-made disasters of every type and description surrounding us, we are comforted in the knowledge that the Messiah, the anointed one of God, is by our side. And I think we must never forget that as we await his return, Jesus expects us at Cook's Church and throughout the universal church to live in the Spirit, to run the good race of our faith. We can live abundantly, hopefully, joyfully, filling each day with works of faith to fulfill God's purpose. And you know, he expects our commitment to carry his gospel to all people, not just people that we know, not just people that look like us, that talk like us, but to all people that we may encounter, because all of us need his saving grace. I ask you to ask yourself, how well am I sharing the love of God with my neighbor. There is a story on the internet, which I hope is true. Sometimes there are things on the internet that are, but this is one that I'm very hopeful about. And it's a story about this fellow on the back of your bulletin that you might have been wondering about. Why is this picture on the back of your bulletin? And now the mystery is going to be revealed. It's about a man who looks down and out, possibly homeless. He walks into church, walks through the doors about 30 minutes before worship, and watches as people are beginning to fill in the sanctuary. Only three people say hello to him as he sits there as a stranger. He asks for change to buy food because he's hungry, but no one gives him anything or any support. He moves to the front pew after a few minutes, and ushers come down and very politely ask him to go from the front to the back pews. And as he's going back down, he's greeting people, but people are giving him judgmental stares and dark looks. The elders, with enthusiasm, begin a liturgy of welcome for their new pastor. "We would like to introduce to you Pastor Jeremiah Stipik." The congregation, with a lot of joy and with a lot of welcome and with clapping, want to welcome their new pastor. The homeless man stands up in the back and walks down to the front and walks up to the pulpit. The clapping stops, and all eyes are on him. He recites Jesus' teaching in Matthew 25, 31 to 40, about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And the text is about the Son of Man sitting on his throne of glory and judgment. And Jesus tells the sheep, his followers, that they have inherited the kingdom because when he was hungry, they fed him. They gave him drink when he was thirsty, welcomed him as a stranger, cared for him when he was sick, and visited him when he was in prison. And his sheep, the righteous, ask him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and invite you in, or visit you in prison?" He replies, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." For the goats who do not love and serve the poor and the needy, Jesus gives a stern command in verse 41. "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Many in the congregation begin to cry. Others bow their heads in shame. The pastor dismisses them, asking for their commitment to share the gospel with those spiritually lost and the needy. What an uplifting message for those who live in and serve the Lord. What a sad outlook for those who lack faith and do not live by the faith they profess. The condemnation of the goats is not what Jesus wants for you, for me, for anyone. But he's basically saying, I'm not asking you to do anything I did not do when I was here on earth and that I died for. I brought love and peace and hope to all people. You are to bring love and peace and hope to all people that you meet, including your neighbors. So I think this morning he's asking us, each of us, what are we doing to bring the good news of Christ to others? And will we embrace all whom we meet as brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus promises to come back in glory on a day of his Father's choosing to judge the wicked and redeem the righteous. Look for his return, yes, by these signs in heaven and by these signs in the condition of our world that are prophesied by Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Joel. Jesus warns us not to be lazy in our faith. And as you heard in the children's message, which was very well done, we're to be prepared. We're not to think that we can coast along in our faith simply because we say the words, we show up in worship. Folks, we got to live it. We've got to live it. So be spiritually ready for his return by loving God and your neighbor, and as his disciple by living up to his expectations. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray for faith and strength to live the gospel as he has taught us to the best of our ability. And give thanks to our Heavenly Father for his promise that the Son of Man will return to bring us new life in his new kingdom of God. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. We now lift up our prayers of the people. We're going to lift up prayers of intercession for those who are on the prayer list, for those who we know are ill, those who need the healing touch of the Spirit to come upon them. And I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to have a responsive prayer of the people, where I'm going to read a portion of a prayer, and then I'm going to say, "Let us pray to the Lord." And I'm going to ask you then to repeat with me, "Lord, have mercy." So I will say, "Let us pray to the Lord," and then we will all say, "Lord, have mercy." And then we'll have a time of silent prayer when we can lift up those whom we feel in our heart need to be commended to the Lord. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For peace of the world, for the unity of the Church of God, and for the well-being of all peoples, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For his gathering of the faithful, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all the baptized, for all who serve the church, for all deacons and elders and pastors, for all people of the faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our president and all elected leaders, for those in military service, for our police and firefighters, for all in authority, and for all who serve and protect us, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the aged and infirm, for the widowed and orphaned, for the sick and the suffering, for all those on the prayer list, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the poor and the oppressed, for those unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And now let us render unto the Lord through Jesus Christ these silent prayers of the people. Heavenly Father, we ask through Jesus Christ that you hear these prayers, grant these prayers of comfort and consolation, lifting up those that come to you from our hearts, our dearly beloved, our friends, our family members, our neighbors. Lord, comfort them in their time of affliction, grieving, and sorrow. And now we render unto you the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." God has so richly blessed each of us with so many different blessings, blessings of family, of friends, of income, of jobs, of wealth even. And Lord, we want to give back to you a portion of the blessings that you have given us for the use of Cook's Church, to support the ministries of this church out in this community and within this family that is yours. Thank you. In prayer. O Lord our God, you give us daily blessings as a free gift of your love we often take for granted. May we demonstrate our love for you by our works of faith as we walk the talk of your holy word. Bless these tithes and offerings used to support the ministries and outreach of Cook's Church. Inspire each of us to be a God sighting in this community with those who need to hear the good news, the grace and love of your Son, the Christ. Amen. The Church, a mighty fortress, is our God. Be prepared. The old Boy Scout motto. Be prepared for the return of the Messiah, the Son of Man. Live abundantly in faith, hope, and love, serving one another, serving your neighbor, serving your stranger, loving others as you love yourself, to the glory of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Amen.